good afternoon, good morning, good evening, good middle of the day, wherever you find yourselves. This is our TDSIG podcast, and I'm here today with two other women. So it's all girls together today. I'm here with Irene, who is a teacher educator in Uruguay. So hi, Irene.
Hi.
Excellent. And we're also here with Michael Berman Scholarship winner, Victoria. Hi, Victoria.
Hi.
So we're going to be talking about Victoria's experience as a scholarship winner, her takeaways from the IATEFL online conference and our online TDSIG PCE, our pre-conference event. So we're going to touch on a range of subjects dealing with some challenging situations in the classroom, as well as things like EMI, English as the Medium of Instruction, and anything else that pops up. So before we jump into Victoria's experience, Irene, would you be able to tell us a little bit about what the Michael Berman Scholarship is?
Yeah, sure. Well, the Michael Berman Scholarship was founded by the IATEFL TDC in the memory of Michael Berman, who was an ELT writer and presenter, also storyteller. And the award for this scholarship consists of a registration for the TDC pre-conference event, the registration for the IATEFL conference for conference-related expenses. So, Victoria, probably our listeners would love to listen to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Victoria, tell us a little bit about yourself. For example, right now I'm in Canada, and I know, Irene, you're in Uruguay. Is that right?
You're right.
And where are you, Victoria? And what's your teaching context?
Well, I am in Argentina. Okay, it's a neighboring country to Uruguay.
Yeah.
We are neighbors. I teach in two state-run secondary schools, also at the School of English called William Shakespeare, and also in a workshop for adults that is organized by the local government. I've been teaching for 3 years now, and I teach from six-year-old students to adults. So it's a wide range.
A very wide range.
Yes.
Excellent. So just so the listeners are aware as well, part of the Michael Berman Scholarship application is submitting a narrative. So telling us a story about a very challenging situation that the applicant has experienced in the classroom. So Victoria, your story is positioned around this law called the Comprehensive Sexuality Education Program, which I understand it was passed in 2006, so a while ago now, in Argentina. Can you tell us briefly, like, what does this law mean for your teaching sector? Like, what is the objective of it?
So this law, as you said, established this Comprehensive Sexuality Education Program, which is prescriptive in all levels of education and institutions. It got several objectives. Some of them are to prevent problems related to health and also reproductive health. Also ensure equality in opportunities for people, for everyone. And also one of the main objectives, which is related to my experience, is to promote responsible attitudes towards sexuality.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. And I imagine that particularly in your teaching context of, you know, kids and teenagers, it's pretty important.
Exactly. Yes. So it aims at equipping students with the ability to establish positive interpersonal relationships. So
did people welcome this law?
At first, no. There are many conservative groups that feel against it.
Oh, so it's still getting some pushback.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. Well, yes, I completely understand. We have in Canada, there's a lot of focus on equity, diversity, and inclusivity. And in my teaching context at a college, a post-secondary college, we have a very new department for EDI. And I have my own personal story, which we might have time to talk about today, of pushback in a similar kind of situation. So, but before we jump into that, let's hear your story, Victoria. I think it's a fantastic example of how someone is challenged in the classroom, and how you turned it into a really interesting kind of a teaching opportunity and learning opportunity.
All right. So I was teaching in a first year course of 11, 12 year old students when one of my male students attempted to kiss a female student. Yeah. I told this student to stop, but he didn't show any kind of regret. So I found myself in a critical situation, and at that moment, I really didn't know what to do. So I decided to stop the lesson and to talk with them about consent. And afterwards, I decided to bring back the topic of consent framed within CLEAR.
So you thought you would kind of come back to it structured in a CLIL, a CLIL framework, using the subject matter of consent. Nice.
So, I presented a series of tasks that involved the topic of consent as culture, one of the three C's, as regards communication, we practiced simple present tense question forms. Okay. And as for cognition, I have them to analyze statements, compare and contrast, and also to role play situations in which the consent was involved. So the aim was to help them become aware of respect, social norms as regards body boundaries, and to help them develop empathy.
And did you find that you were also kind of educating them on just the concept of consent itself? Like, what does it actually mean, and what place does it have in our society these days?
Some of them, some of these students, they looked quite shocked because they didn't think that it was a great deal. Later on, the school's principal came to the classroom and talked with them about this event, this critical event. It was pretty challenging, and I think they learned something new.
Definitely. And did you get any other feedback from the students? Later on, did any of the students kind of come back and say anything to you? Or I suppose at the very least, did that boy stop kissing?
Yes, he stopped. He changed his behavior in the classroom. Yes. Case well.
Wonderful. I really appreciated how you handled that, because I think I've witnessed or heard about other situations where the teacher just gets very angry with the student, as opposed to, you took it as a real education opportunity. So I think that's really interesting. And Irene, how about you? Have you had any similar experiences like this?
No, I haven't. And listening to Victoria about the law that passed on, there's not a law yet here, but we are trying as teachers and educators to implement different programs, trying to be more inclusive. So we are dealing a lot these days with emotional education in our lessons. That I guess in Argentina also there is a law to be passed on, if I'm not wrong.
Interesting. Can you tell us just a little bit more what you mean by the emotional education?
Well, for students to, in some way, to do what Victoria did with her student, to be aware of their emotions, to be careful about the others, to respect the others, but also to look after themselves and try to manage their emotions, that's vital for them. When they are depressed or about to break down or something. So that's pretty important in the lessons. Basically, when you are working with all kinds of students, but mainly with teenagers, in that age range, that's they go through different depressive processes.
I totally understand that. Talking kind of about the idea of just not getting swept up in the emotion. but recognizing that you're feeling something and then deciding, oh, you know, what is an appropriate way of dealing with this or expressing it? Yeah, I think that's really interesting. I think from my own perspective recently, as I said about this increased awareness of equity, diversity, and inclusivity, I did a workshop recently in my own teacher training program about inclusivity in particular. And I was surprised at the reactions to the teachers who received it, because there was definitely some really strong discomfort with some of them. And like what you said before, Victoria, that not everybody is embracing these types of, I don't know, societal shifts or a different way of perceiving tolerance and you know, having maybe a more of an open-minded approach to things. And I was pretty surprised at the pushback that I got, just a little bit. But I think it's that your students were probably surprised. Like you said, they, what do you mean consent? What do you mean? And it was the same thing I think I experienced, where people were like, well, what do you mean inclusivity? Why do I have to adapt my materials to be inclusive of people who are marginalized? Should I have, I don't think I should have to do that, you know, and it's asking people to really like, let's think about this. What does it mean to have an inclusive classroom? People can have an initial kind of resistance to it, the lack of familiarity, I think. So I think it's great that we're continuing to have these conversations in our classrooms and in our teacher training. Now, speaking of classrooms and more conversations, Victoria, were you able to attend any of the workshops at the IATEFL conference this year?
Yes, I was.
Yes? Yeah. Yes. Could you tell us a little bit about maybe one or two that really stood out for you?
There were so many of them that's really interesting. So I chose one that was delivered during the forum on equality, diversity, and inclusion in materials. Yeah, it was delivered by Christian Cervera on denaturalizing social identities at a public school. She showed examples on how to challenge social representation of oppressed groups by analyzing pictures. And that's how she tackles issues such as racism and sexism.
Interesting.
I thought it really interesting. Yeah.
Yes. Funnily enough, that's exactly what we were just talking about with my experience as well. And I mean, I have two questions for you. First of all, did you notice any kind of discomfort in the people? Well, I suppose you were online, so you wouldn't have seen them, but in the chat box, any comments? And have you been able to apply that to your classroom, these ideas of analyzing images for inclusivity purposes?
Yeah, I've been using them, but not as Christian Cervera did. She presented some examples on how Black women are represented in history.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Okay, fantastic. So it was more of a race focus.
Yes.
Yeah. And how did your students respond to discussing racism in materials?
Okay. They were surprised. they are always surprised.
Awesome.
Yes. They didn't expect that. I showed them pictures and examples on how Black people were discriminated during the last centuries. They couldn't believe that it was real and that it is now still real.
Interesting. That's a really good point. So this idea of, we're not just talking about a historic event centuries ago, that these are still very real situations, experiences. And, you know, something that I thought was really interesting in the workshop that was presented in my context was this idea of just recognizing different identities and normalizing
them, right?
And yet there's still this discomfort about normalizing different identities. So clearly the conversation needs to continue, right?
Yeah.
What about you, Irene? Was there any workshop or presentation that stood out for you at the IELTS conference?
Sure. Well, going the other side, because I was into more into technology stuff. I attended one by Roval Libano about teaching large classes online. Now that we have been through all these Zoom stuff, he gave a lot of useful tips and practical ideas for teaching speaking and writing online, which is pretty hard. Maybe writing more than speaking, because you can use different tools and even online, you can find different material and apps to work with the students. They're engaging, but sometimes it's really hard to work online because students, or at least my experience, students keep their cameras off. So it's like talking to nobody there. Even though we have some clear rules to connect and stuff, but it was really interesting. And the other one was also about gamification and mobile applications. So interesting, really interesting. All of them were interesting.
No, I know. Yes, exactly. There's only so many you can attend. I think we'll do for our listeners is we will put the links as much as we can. If we can find the links to the talks, we'll put them. We'll put them in the description, and you'll be able to find them in the TDSIG website as well.
Exactly.
But just before we go, I would like to also just move on briefly to our TDSIG pre-conference event. So Victoria, I know that you were there. I saw you there as well. And the theme of our pre-conference event, funnily enough, and also appropriately enough, was the underdog. So we had four presenters. Just to give you a tiny bit of background, we had Divya, who talked about English as a medium of instruction in her teaching context, and how she stopped teaching and problematizing training in EMI. We had Elena, who talked about the systematic informed reflective practice. So, and this really interesting term of judgmentoring. We had Michael Stout talking about action research and becoming a better teacher. And we also had Nermeen, and she talked about the dialogic approaches. So did any of those workshops or presentations jump out at you?
Well, for me, it was Michael Stout's, because I found interesting how through action research, he managed to adapt content and materials to the students' social cultural characteristics, and also it's amazing the level of adaptability and flexibility we should have as teachers.
Yes, I totally agree. I was really interested in that as well, that idea of, I don't know, like going with the flow, like adapting things for the situations that's real, not an idealized version of what a student is or how a student acts, but really paying attention to how students genuinely interact together, and then seeing how you can fit the curriculum or adapt it around that social context that's really important to them. What about you, Irene? What stood out for you? Yeah,
the same as Victoria. Yes, and yes, about action research. And I've also left thinking about that we don't usually go into research as teachers, and at least here we are not prepared for that, even in teaching development courses or training. And it's hard to ask the teachers, for example, as a teacher trainer, it's difficult to ask them to do so. Maybe because they have so many lessons, maybe because they have to plan a lot. So sometimes they don't even question themselves about what they are teaching, what's the purpose for teaching that thing, and about the students' interests also.
Yeah, I totally agree. Do you think that he presented it in a way that made it feel more accessible, like more doable?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, awesome. Well, funnily enough, what stood out for me was I loved Divya's talk on her on shifting her own identity in the context of teaching EMI, and how I loved how candid she was about this, I don't know, 1 year, 2 year long experience of trying to develop an EMI department, if you like, and feeling like it really failed, that she wasn't successful in it. And I loved how open about it she was. And how she continued the conversation with the professors and the instructors she was working with. It's like, okay, so this was my perspective. This was my approach. It didn't work. So how can we morph it, change it, adapt it so it is going to work? And, you know, sometimes I think it's really worthwhile listening to people like that. It gives us permission to be wrong.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, and there's something lovely about that, I think, in and of itself. There's permission to say, I tried this, it didn't work, I'm just going to keep trying something else. And that was a big takeaway for me in a funny way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. You're right.
All right. Well, I think that's about all the time we have today. But I do want to thank you very much for joining us, Victoria. We really appreciated hearing your challenging experience. And also your brief experience of the IATEFL conference. And also, Irene, thank you very much for joining us as my fellow TDSIG committee member.
Yeah.
And and from your perspective, from, you know, very different parts of the world, and that we're all kind of connected in the same way. We're all still facing the same issues, and we're all trying to move forward in the same way. So thank you very much for joining us. And you're very welcome. And for those of you who are listening, please look for the links to the talks that we were talking about, if we can find them, or other related materials. So enjoy the rest of your evening, and we will talk again soon. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, listeners. I hope you enjoyed that All Girls episode with Irene, Victoria, and Tanya. And just to tell you that the links, as much as we can provide them, will be attached here in the show notes, particularly the ones to the PCE that they were talking about, the pre-conference event. We've managed to share those with you earlier than we would normally have expected. They wouldn't normally be available to non-members until January, so make the most of those. The IATEFL online conference is not available, unfortunately, at the moment, but it will be opening up to members soon. So keep your eye on the IATEFL website. What else to tell you? Also, very exciting news, our second edition of the TDAJ, the Teacher Development Academic Journal, has just been published, and we'll provide the link for that as well. The theme is race and queerness, diversity in ELT, which is very fitting for this episode too. So look that up. There's some really interesting articles, and we'll be focusing on that in the next DevelopPod. So take care. Thanks for joining, and see you next time. Bye for me, Christian.